So keep your dial set to WBBM Chicago.
Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. Now here with music on records is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Joe Foss. And as Joe told you, every day on CBS for Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the delightful treat that you can have with you no matter where you go, whether it be at sports or playtime or just around the house or in the office or in the automobile, nothing is a nicer companion piece than Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Now, a few weeks ago, when we had the privilege of going out to the motion picture studio of the world, Hollywood, where we played in a picture called The Big Beat at Universal International, the press department there set up a luncheon which turned out to be a most engaging 2 hours of conversation. It was with Charles Loffer, who is editor of one of the teen publications, one of the younger set publications called Teen Magazine. And about the time that we broke off our conversation, I went back before the Klieg lights. I told Charlie that at the earliest opportunity, I wanted to put him on our radio show for Wrigley Spearmint because I felt the things that he wanted to say to the teens across the nation were important indeed. So at the other end of our broadcast line today, we've set up an interview with Charles Loffer, editor of Teen Magazine, and he'll talk to you in just a very few moments. First, we listen to Dottie Ferguson and Slow Burn. That's a Mercury record titled Slow Burn and done by a little girl who was our guest here a couple of weeks ago, a little Chicagoan by the name of Dottie Ferguson. Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. There's three words to conjure up a lot of fine thoughts. The fine thoughts of spring, then summer, then fall, then winter. Regardless of what the season is, regardless of the time of day, the time of night, or the circumstance under which you chew Wrigley Spearmint, it's always a delicious treat. If you not recently have had the pleasure of enjoying yourself with Wrigley Spearmint, I wish that you'd think about it today. Now, it's not urgent that you race out of your home now or out of your automobile and buy a Wrigley Spearmint, but the next time it's convenient, pick up a pack and see what extra pleasure there is out of living. Because, you see, chewing Wrigley Spearmint is one of those real, relaxing, easy-to-do habits that's a swell habit to have. It always keeps your teeth clean and attractive, keeps your breath sweet. And, of course, between meals, it's ideal because it seems to satisfy a craving, yet it doesn't spoil your appetite. And that's why we always think it's so good for the little moppets, the little kids, when they get impatient and just a little bit, irritable, the best way, I think, to pacify him is to give him something good that's pure, like Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. So regardless of the age, 6 to 60, 8 to 80, or maybe 2 to 102, I'm sure that you'll all enjoy, as we do, Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum, a real nice product you'll always enjoy. Well, let's go out to the west coast of California, where there in the editorial offices of Teen Magazine, sitting behind, I presume, a great imposing mahogany desk, is the editor and the former publisher of the magazine, Charles Lauffer. Charles, real nice to have you on our show today.
Well, it's very nice to be with you, Howard.
Charlie, I said that you were the former publisher. Now you maintain the office of the editor. Why did you happen to give up the publishing of it or sell the publishing rights?
Well, originally, Teen Magazine was an on-campus publication, Howard. We were only sold right on the high school campuses and limited quite a bit to the Southern California area. And due to many reasons, well, primarily financial, shall we say, held down quite a bit, and we couldn't go national. And I guess I'm not the greatest businessman in the world.
When I first became acquainted with Teen Magazine, I was attracted to it, Charles, prior to the time I met you even, because I felt that you were taking an altogether different viewpoint, that you had a different concept of publishing a magazine for the younger set. Can you crystallize that concept, what it is?
Well, yes. We don't issue any real directives with Teen Magazine. It's primarily an entertainment magazine and an exchange of ideas and ideals among young people. And I don't believe we fall by any means into the fan magazine class.
Well, that is a very obvious understatement, I think. Once you read the magazine, you realize that you have not devoted your attention or your policy to just fan stories, boilerplate stuff that the motion pictures and recording studios send out. It seems that you take an educational approach to the whole thing, and I suppose it's because you are basically an educator, aren't you, Charles?
Yes, I taught in the public schools for 4 years.
At the high school level?
That's right.
Well, now, when you and I were teenagers a few years ago, we didn't have magazines devoted to us as an age group, as an entity. Is this good for kids today to have a magazine that they say, this belongs to me?
Well, we definitely think it is, because I guess it's just recently where the teenager has become recognized as an entity and has been treated as such, and, well, we think necessarily needs his own publication.
Well, now, as an educator, why are the teens today treated differently than they were in our time a few years ago? Why are the teens set aside and made an entity? Why aren't they just assimilated into the society as we were?
Well, I guess there are many reasons. One, there are many more of them, and the economic setup is a lot different, Howard. Today, most teenagers, or shall we say many of them, are working. There are many new jobs that have been created for them, and they do have money to spend and minds of their own to go along with it.
So they are an economic entity along with a personality entity.
Oh, yes.
Well, now, when we were out there and had luncheon at the commissary at the Universal lot during the screening or the shooting of the Big Beat, I remember you're telling me that it's a great career out there on the West Coast, the box packing industry for kids. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that, how those kids are used in that industry?
Well, we have so many large market supermarkets out here, and they employ many teenagers, young boys who work in the markets and do the boxing up of the products and carry them out to the cars. And because of the large numbers and the many people pouring in here every day, more jobs are created. Consequently, we have so many boys employed, and girls too for that matter, and they have money to spend, and they buy records and do their own selection of their clothing and everything else, and magazines.
This quite obviously then looses a tremendous amount of cash, doesn't it,
to
be flooded to the market. Where do most of these kids spend their money, do you think, from the basis of surveys that you've made for Teen Magazine?
Well, from the surveys we've made, clothing and records as their biggest source of enjoyment.
Uh-huh.
They're very close touches.
Charles, your publication is yet new in the field of national publications, and yet it has achieved the dignity of being the number one best-selling magazine devoted to that age set of this type of magazine that there is in the market. How do you account for almost immediate success? Is it because this cash is loose and these kids want their own position in life?
Well, that's probably one reason. However, we have really been working on this magazine for close to 3 years, even though we've only had magazines on the newsstands nationally.
Uh-huh.
And every article that we put into Teen Magazine is a thoroughly screened article. It's thought out. It's planned right here from the desk. And as you mentioned before, we don't use boilerplate.
Yes.
We use our own staff.
As an editor, but more importantly, as an educator, what about teens today in connection with movies, in connection with records, in connection with their daily life? Are these kids of ours today any different than the kids were when we were kids?
Well, basically, I don't think you could say there is any difference. A great deal of focus has been placed upon them, and naturally from our newspapers to play up on many of the so-called delinquent deeds that I believe 20 years ago weren't considered as such.
Uh-huh.
But they do make good copy today, and the newspapers do take advantage of it.
Well, I think you put your finger on it. In other words, the kids today are no different than the kids of any other era. It's just that they are more publicized today and therefore are given a position of prominence that maybe their deeds hardly warrant, at least their bad deeds. Charlie, your magazine is on sale at newsstands all over the United States, isn't it?
That's right, Alan.
I just want to give that as a closing plug and say to you, thank you very much for giving us the benefit of your education, your ability, and your editorial board's work for Teen Magazine, and I want to wish you the very best of luck.
Well, thank you very much, Alan.
Thanks very much. Our guest today from the west coast of California, from the editorial offices of Teen Magazine, a brilliant young fellow who, as I say, made a tremendous impression on us when we saw him just about 3 weeks ago out at Universal International, where we had the opportunity of working with a very splendid gentleman by the name of Will Cowan, who produced and directed what I think is going to turn out to be one of the great Technicolor musicals of this era. Just a great, great movie, and even my being in it didn't detract from it hardly at all. So you'll get a chance to see that, and you'll also get a chance to read the articles of Charles Laufer and his great editorial staff in Teen Magazine when you pick up the mag. Now let's listen to a record. Here's Tommy Prisco, a new epic recording artist with a pretty tune called Teardrops in My Heart.
Just keep on hiding teardrops in your heart.
You'll never know I cried when I found out you lied. For I've been hiding all the teardrops in my heart,
hiding teardrops.
My eyes dare not reveal the way I really feel, because I know I'll pour my heart out if I stop.
Pour my heart out.
Though I'm pretending just keep on hiding teardrops in my heart. Though I'm pretending that I don't care to be with you, my darling, is my prayer.
That's Tommy Prisco, Teardrops in My Heart. Well, our time is all up, except to remind you once again, and we always like to remind you about a swell product, and the swell product we like to talk about is Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. If it's convenient today, you pick up a couple of packs and travel with it wherever you go. And by the way, if your daddy in an automobile with the sample sacks out in the back seat or in the rumble seat, you get just a little bit tired of driving over those long roads of concrete, why don't you relieve some of the tedium and stay alert as a driver and enjoy Wrigley Spearmint, a swell product that you'll always like. Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. In the meantime, Joe Foss, do you want to tell them about the private joke we have with our producer, Ellen Burns? This is Howard Miller from Chicago.
It's too bad we can't put it on the air, Howard. Be sure to join Howard at this same time tomorrow when his guest will be little Lulu Weir on the CBS Radio Network.
WBBM-FM, Chicago.
World-famous Coca-Cola, signed...